Hello there. Hope you're doing well today on this Friday. Those of you in the St. Louis area, man, we got some snow on the way, so it'll be freak out time in the city and the county and all the surrounding areas. I wonder what people in Buffalo think of that. We go nuts every time there's some snow coming. But anyway, I like the snow. I'm looking forward to watching it as I sip hot chocolate and look outside the window, whenever the heck it's supposed to start. Guess I need to get in touch with Dave Murray or something. Anyway, I'm going to talk a little SEC football today, and I'll have a Cardinals video for you a little later today. But I wanted to try to stay in the spirit of the moment and what's going on in sports, and certainly the National College Football Playoff Tournament has kicked into high gear because now the Final Four, the semifinals, are set. It will be Texas against Ohio State in one game. And it will be Notre Dame and Penn State in the other semifinal. It should be a lot of fun. Has not been a good time. Has not been a party. Has not been a celebration for the SEC. Now, I know Texas is still alive, but if we're talking about SEC history and, you know, the recent trends and blah, blah, blah. Look, a year ago, Texas was in the Big 12. I know technically they're in the SEC, and that's been in the works for quite a while, but, you know, this isn't like one of the traditional SEC programs that we have come to know and expect, and some of you have come to loathe seeing Alabama and Georgia and LSU and whomever, you know, gobbling up those playoff spots, right? Listen, I'm an SEC honk. Especially since Mizzou made the move there. I've been really wired into the SEC. I love to watch SEC football. I also love to watch Big Ten football. It depending on what's going on in the Big 12, you know, I watch games all day Saturday, and every game I have is recorded because I'm a subscriber to YouTube TV. And you just hit one button and like every college football game automatically records. You don't have to worry about setting anything up. So with that said, I still watch probably SEC more than the Big Ten, but I watch both of them a lot. And I also feel I feel lucky because I don't have a real strong tribal instinct. In other words, where I live, you know, we have a lot of Illini fans in this area. There's more Mizzou fans, of course, but we have a lot of Illini fans in the area. We're in the middle of the Big Ten and the SEC. And I've always been one of these people. It's like, well, why do I have to choose? I mean, I want to see Mizzou win, but I also want to see Illinois win. If they play each other, I don't know what to tell you. May the best team win. It's not disloyal. It's not being wishy-washy. It's like you got the two best conferences in America and St. Louis is situated smack dab in the middle of it all. I'm going to enjoy both conferences. I really am. But yeah, I'm an SEC honk, primarily an SEC honk. However, unlike other SEC honks, I'm not arrogant about it or haughty about it or declare, well, my conference is the all-powerful, the almighty. The rest of you are you were just like little piddly ants, you know, racing around. You know, we will destroy you. I don't get into that. The SEC has a lot of paid media people that were very happy to shill for everything and all things SEC. So even though I'm an SEC honk, I can't sit here and tell you what's been happening lately in 2024 really is something that, you know, it's got the SEC waving the banner. It's been a pretty bleak time, right? The SEC remains formidable, but it is not the same. It hasn't been a good season by SEC standards, let alone a great season. And the NIL and the transfer portal have worked to help level the playing field. And we're seeing the results of that. And I really don't think I'm overreacting to one postseason. And I'll explain as we go along, and I'll try to get through this quickly because I've taken too much time to already warm up my voice. Listen, the SEC still recruits the most elite talent of any conference. Just go look at the recruiting ratings every year. I mean, it's one of those things, like, there's no point in arguing it because that's an established fact, and I'm not being arrogant about it. I just look at the numbers. I also look at the number of players drafted by NFL teams and, like, what conferences get the most players drafted. The SEC's ability to recruit the most elite talent compared to other conferences, and the Big Ten's close. I mean, again, there's a lot of good players out there. But it's the difference for the SEC between before and now is that with the NIL and the transfer portal, it's no longer possible to hoard all that talent for longer-term roster building. You know, you stash a few players away, so I won't need them until next year, or, I mean, I won't need them until I'll redshirt them. Then maybe they play a little the following year, and then 2 years from now, you know, we'll get them on the field, you know, that kind of thing. It doesn't work that way anymore because good players, great players, don't want to stand around for a couple seasons and just be a brick in the stockpile, right? They want to play ASAP, and they can take advantage of excellent opportunities elsewhere, not only playing time, but enhanced NIL money. And this has started to erode. It's a matter of opinion how much, but this has started to erode the SEC's established ruling class superiority, right? We're probably looking at no SEC team making the national championship game for the second straight year. I know Texas could still get there, but to tell you what, I don't think Texas got much of a chance to beat Ohio State. We'll talk about that next week, getting closer to the game when I make my picks. And this was a Big 12 program that got there as a Big 12 program last year. So if the SEC wants to claim Texas, well, they technically can. But my point is, you know, they did not have been a long-term resident. I don't think they're going to get to the title game anyway. In the three college football playoff games this season, the SEC has been outscored 96-66 and outgained by 300 yards. That includes the Texas win over Arizona State. But the Longhorns, I thought, in a way, were embarrassing because bad coaching, refusing to run the football, giving away their physical and athletic advantage to Arizona State. And the Longhorns, because of some bad coaching, bad game planning, blew a 24-8 lead to Arizona State, were fortunate enough to escape in double overtime. Thankfully for the Longhorns, Quinn Ewers woke up and made some huge throws. If not that, we'd really be laughing at the SEC. But there's one development, this is my opinion, there's one development that does not get enough attention nationally, in my opinion. It isn't just that the SEC has lost considerable ground, at least this year, to the Big Ten, but the resident SEC powers have lost ground within the conference. And let me go back a second. You know, Michigan won it all last year, and they knocked out an SEC team on the way. And so if Ohio State wins the Natty this year, and I think there's a really great chance of that happening, that would be two consecutive national championships from the Big Ten or by the Big Ten. So anyway, back to what I was saying, the resident SEC powers have lost ground within the conference. So it's not just like the problem is other conferences getting better while the SEC is taking a hit. Within the SEC structure, some of the teams that I think the ruling class programs in the SEC got used to slapping around, ain't so easy to do that anymore. And, you know, the gap between those up here traditionally and those in the soft middle or the bottom, it's kind of starting to close a little. And that's a new development in the SEC. The NIL and the transfer portal, again, have given programs like Ole Miss, Mizzou, South Carolina, Vandy, a chance to narrow the gap between themselves and the superpowers. There's still a gap, but it is not as wide as it used to be. We've seen programs like Mizzou and Ole Miss and now South Carolina win a larger share of recruiting battles for blue chip recruits who can get paid legally through the NIL, and they play right away instead of having to go to Alabama, Georgia, LSU, some other kingpin and sit the bench or work on the scout team, right? They can play right away and get paid. They can have it all. They can also play for good teams. Mizzou's a good team. Ole Miss a good team. South Carolina appears to be a good team. Tennessee is a good program. The most, as I mentioned, you know, the most elite SEC programs can't just hide talent away and delay their ascendance to a starting job as part of some long-term roster building strategy. You know, looking ahead 2 years, well, that young man will start for me 2 years from now. No, that's out. I'm not saying in all cases. That's changing. You don't have to sit and on the bench for any team if there are good opportunities elsewhere with good teams. And this is just the beginning, because I think, you know, teams like Vanderbilt, Florida, Auburn, and Texas A&M are using the NIL, Mizzou as well, using it very, very well, and being really adept or really, what's the word, very nimble in terms of the transfer market. And they're all beefing up their rosters. It takes time, but they're beefing up their rosters. And, you know, Kentucky, I think this is a telling story. You know, Kentucky hasn't been as aggressive in terms of the NIL and in terms of going out and recruiting others. I'm talking about, you know, starting caliber, good starting caliber players through the transfer portal. And all of a sudden, you know, Kentucky, which was really a well-respected program, they still are under Mark Stoops, but all of a sudden they crashed, and they crashed hard in 2024. You know, you got people like Vandy getting players now. And Vandy is no longer the kind of team that you can just, like, you know, slap around and throw out onto the sidewalk, right? You can't take them for granted. You can't take a lot of these SEC teams for granted that have been in the soft middle or the lower rankings. Here is a stat for you that tells me a lot about the size of the gap between the traditional haves and the traditional have-nots in the SEC. Researched this, triple-checked it, yada, yada, yada. Over the last two seasons, Mizzou and Ole Miss have won as many games, 21, as Alabama. And since the start of the 2023 season, Mizzou and Ole Miss are only two of seven power conference teams to have back-to-back seasons of 10-plus wins. Mizzou and Ole Miss are only two on a list of seven teams that have won 10 games or more 2 years in a row. The other five power conference teams that have done this, besides Ole Miss and Mizzou, Georgia, Ohio State, Penn State, Texas, and Oregon. So that's another marker about the way the power has shifted. It's being blended in. Teams no longer feel like it's futile. We're just going to be a doormat where there's no hope. I'm not saying the Mizzou program is on par with Georgia, things like that. That's not really the point. The point is that the teams that have really, 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 really faced a stern, intimidating, imposing challenge now have more of a shot, a much better shot with the right coach like Eli Drinkwitz, who can sell anything to a player. He's very convincing. He's built a great culture. They can go out and get a lot of good players that used to be inaccessible to them. And that's a leveler, man. That helps reduce that gap. One interesting thing, you know, the anti-SEC crowd is delirious now. They love this. But one thing I don't think enough people realize as well, add this to the list, the SEC, as I sit here today, we can check back a year from today, right? Because, you know, I'm not going to assume it's going to stay like this, but there's more of a chance it'll stay like this. The SEC might actually be stronger from top to bottom now. We already talked about Mizzou rising up. We talked from the Barry Odom era. We talked about Ole Miss rising up under Lane Kiffin. If you go back a few years, the Matt Luke coaching era, you know, Ole Miss way, way, way down in the basement there, right? A downbound program like Florida, you know, if their fans could just calm down and give a guy a chance to recruit and repair some of the rebuilding that needed to be done. You know, Coach Billy Napier showed last season, if you just settle down a little, give the man time to rebuild. He's probably going to do a good job. I mean, Florida looked as a really interesting team to watch going into 2025. I think Texas A&M is going to be moving up under Mike Elko. I know they had a terrible, terrible stretch run. They fell apart. But I think Elko knows what he's doing, so we'll see. Hugh Freeze has not elevated Auburn on the field, but he's been loading up on talented recruits and transfers, and those Auburn money people are bringing the loot. I'm reluctant to overreact to bowl season records because I think way too many people do that, and they're assuming that every motivational level of every team is the same, and that's not just realistic. I don't need to make excuses for the SEC. The SEC has just gotten punked so far this bowl season, and a fact is a fact. I'm just saying it's not as cut and dry as it appears. For what it's worth, the SEC is 1-4 versus the Big Ten this postseason, and I think they'll be 1-5 when Ohio State disposes of Texas. But there's some other trends that are interesting that fit into what I'm talking about. Georgia has not won a college football playoff game since winning back-to-back titles 21 and 22. Alabama has not won a college football playoff game since it beat a group of five schools, Cincinnati, in 2021. LSU has not made it back to the college football playoff since winning it all in 2019. And since the playoff format, the first playoff format, four teams, went into effect in the 2014 season, LSU has made the playoff one time. Yeah, they won it all, but they only made it one time. Same as programs like Michigan State, Cincinnati, SMU, and Boise State. All those teams I just mentioned have made it exactly one time. Alabama just had its first four-loss season since Nick Saban's first year back in 2007. Georgia just had its first three-loss season since 2018. Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to coach LSU, and LSU hadn't been close to making the playoffs under him. And while the program that he bolted from out of the blue, no one saw it coming, that program, Notre Dame, with a dynamic young coach in Marcus Freeman, just had its first victory in a major bowl game since 1994, and is going to the national semifinals. Kelly at LSU has lost every season opening game at LSU. He wasted a remarkable Heisman Trophy, an amazing performance from the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. And he won only, that was last season. Couldn't make the playoff with that talent, right? And LSU won only eight games this season. And despite luring Mizzou defensive coordinator Blake Baker to the Bayou with a ton of money after the 2023 season, LSU, Kelly's team, still can't stop anybody, right? They don't play any defense. And you better play defense in the SEC. The SEC haters have a lot to rejoice about, especially after the ESPN industrial complex used up hundreds of thousands, if not millions of words, to denigrate Indiana, SMU, and some others, and insist Alabama belonged in that playoff format. They belonged in this year's field. Kirk Herbstreit, go sit down. Feinbaum, I love you. Seriously, I do. You might want to just like low-key it for a while, okay? Alabama does not have a right to make the playoff just because it's they're you know, holding on to that SEC banner. They not the same team with Kalen Boer as the head coach. They've been with Nick Saban as the head coach. Big year for him coming up. Listen, Alabama lost to a Michigan team that had all kinds of people opt out, right? That was embarrassing. South Carolina lost to Illinois. And listen, Illinois is a good team. I think South Carolina was the favorite to win, though, if I'm not mistaken. But South Carolina also lost in part because Shane Beamer, the head coach, had a sideline meltdown after getting baited by the very wise, the very cagey Coach Bielema on the Illinois side. Lane Kiffin at least averted embarrassment. He avoided it, which we all thought he would because Duke didn't have their quarterback and all kinds of other stuff. But they demolished Duke last night, Thursday night. And good old Mizzou did its part to defend the SEC's tainted honor by becoming the only SEC team to beat a Big Ten opponent in the bowl game and during this bowl season. And that win over Iowa was fun to watch. Both of those teams played like mad. Texas can become the second team to do that, to beat a Big Ten team. But good luck trying to do that against Ohio State. If you couldn't, you barely could handle Arizona State. And Ohio State has peaked at the perfect time of the season. This is good for college football fans, in my opinion, in terms of pursuing national titles. College football has sort of turned into a regional sport with teams like Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, LSU, going way back in time, you know, Spurrier and then Urban Meyer. Florida stacked a couple of championships. I mean, Auburn, you know, Auburn got to the playoff a couple times. But it became very familiar and very predictable. And this pattern would eventually cost the SEC financially in the long term. So how could the SEC and the Big Ten increase the size of the revenue pie? Well, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey's a heck of a salesman. And with strong support from the Big Ten and Notre Dame, he led the movement. He absolutely led the movement to expand the playoffs from 4 to 12 teams. Doing so would keep fans of teams in other regions more wired in because they would have more of an opportunity to see their teams make the playoff, and it becomes a more national event rather than always focused for the most part in the Deep South, right? But Sankey probably didn't see what was coming, at least not this soon. With more teams having a realistic crack at getting in, to topple the traditional powerhouses in the SEC, at least for now, the SEC has been knocked off the throne. And the four semifinal teams consist of Penn State, a team from the East Coast, not Seaboard, but the East Coast, Ohio State, Notre Dame, two teams in the Midwest, and Texas, a team located in the Southwest. Arizona State, a team coming out of the Southwest desert, scared the hell out of Texas in the quarterfinals. The NIL, again, and the transfer portal have been an equalizer. It would be stupid to downgrade the SEC by assuming that the party is over. You know, the SEC's reign is over. See, I understand people want to do that because there's a lot of people who are tired of the SEC's arrogance and trying to bully everybody and muscling their way to get what they want all the time. I understand the hooting. And the people just making fun of the SEC. I totally get it. I've done that myself. In fact, I think maybe Greg Sankey this year is gonna have to make sure he lobbies the NCAA tournament basketball committee to get enough teams from the SEC in there. He'll probably want about 10. Anyway, but let's not get carried away here. The SEC has the recruiting reach and the powerful booster money to win at the highest level, including playoff games and national championships. But adjustments must be made. And I'm going to tell you about one adjustment that definitely has to be made. The most accomplished SEC teams have been accustomed to having their wealthy boosters pretty much fund the franchise at any cost. We need this. Okay, good. Let me write a check. We need that. Okay, I'll have my bank wire it to you. You write whatever it is. Cost is no object. During the early years of this NIL era with the transfer portal as the accompaniment, the collectives at these big boss SEC programs, the NIL collectives, as they're called, wink, wink, they've struggled. These powerhouse teams in the SEC have struggled to raise money relative to other teams in other conferences and even other teams in the SEC. Why? Because their fan base didn't see any kind of urgent need to do so. It's like, why do we have to worry about this NIL? We got money. We got plenty of money. But we don't have to, like, out-hustle Mizzou. We don't have to do that. You know, we don't have to worry about Ole Miss. We don't have to worry about these teams in other conferences. We're the SEC. The player is going to come to us. That's changing. And when the SEC loyalists actually start rolling the Brinks trucks up to, metaphorically speaking, to fully fund these NIL programs and take them to a much higher level within the SEC, massive sums of money will suddenly appear in the coffers of the NIL collectives in the SEC. And the South should rise again, but can't take that for granted. In the meantime, Sankey and the SEC is experience how the other half has lived. all of the bullying and the dictating and the braggadocio have come back to bite and wound the SEC standing as the most powerful conference in the land. The empire can strike back. That's the part you got to remember. It can strike back. You just got to adjust, and you got to want it more than you have. Instead of assuming you're going to get X and number teams in the playoff, you'll be in the national title game and all that stuff. Now you're going to have to earn it. The SEC is now going to have to re-earn what has been lost. But for now, until they show they can do that, and I think they will, for now, that humble pie don't taste too good, does it? I'll be back later with a little Cardinal talk. Thanks for watching here on The Bernie Show on YouTube, and please subscribe. Thank you very much.